Hello, hello, and welcome to this episode of Piece by Pieces, Unpacking the Human Experience. I'm your host, Ashley Hutt, and I'm so happy that you are here. If you've been listening for a while, you know that most mornings I sit down and write. It's a practice called Morning Pages, you know, where the idea is that you sit down, you know, first thing if you can, and when you're still in a brainwave state where you're more in touch with your subconscious mind, you know, you're not all the way awake yet, right? Like it's like before your first cup of coffee type of like almost dreamy type of state. And you get to access these deeper parts of your mind and things just flow out. And this message flowed out of me today, and I don't really have a lead in for it. I don't know what triggered it. There was nothing, you know, sometimes I have like, oh, this happened with me and my daughter, or hey, I saw this reel and this made me think about this, you know. No, this just came out of me. So we're just gonna go with it. It's that this that it's not our kids' job. It's not their job. It's not their job to see us and hear us and validate us and emotionally support us, especially when they're small. But still, even if they're preteens, still even if they're teenagers, and really even if they're like anything less than mid-20s, right? And yes, we all want to have that like beautiful future relationship with our kid, like when they're adults and having that loving, supportive, you know, yes. We're talking about when they're small. We're talking about when they're small. When the kids are small, it is not their job to validate us. It's not their job to make us feel appreciated. It's not their job to understand where we are emotionally. Like, we are the adults. We are the adults. That either needs to come from inside of ourselves, from ourselves first, from our inner core, our own unshakable foundation beneath our feet, and with the assistance and the support, you know, that hopefully most of us have, at least somebody, a friend, a partner, a sister, parents, neighbors, whatever, that we can lean on. It's not their job. It's not their job. It's our job to see and hear them, to validate them, to emotionally support them. We are the adults, and they are these small humans that are growing and developing in response to the environment that they are surrounded by. And we are the captain that are guiding them, the compassionate captain that are guiding them and influencing them. Mama, you are their greatest influencer in their life. Now, as I pondered this morning in my journaling, as this just like came to me organically, how things do sometimes, what it connected to immediately was the movie Brave. It's the Disney movie with the princess with the wild red curly hair. If you haven't seen it, this may not make any sense. But there's the scene in Brave where Merida, who's the princess, and I would say she's probably 16, because they're trying to marry her off, and that seems to be like the age of Disney movies where they think that the girl gets married off. But, you know, teenage Merida and her mom are fighting. And the mom has raised her, you know, to be the perfect princess, you know, with the etiquette and the, you know, perfect handwriting and the posture and the, you know, blah, 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 blah. All that, right? So they're fighting. They're arguing. And the mom so severely wants Merida to see that she's wrong, that Merida's wrong, that she's done wrong, like see the wrong in what she has done, and Merida disagrees. They are in different realities here. And the mom so desperately wants Merida like to see the wrong that she did. And Merida doesn't. So then her mom shifts into force. She shifts into, telling Merida, like, this is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to do. You're going to say this, you're going to do that. Like, you are, this is a mess that you made, which is my past episode. This is a mess that you made and you're going to clean it up and this is what you're going to do. But Merida still isn't listening. But neither is the queen, because she's not listening to what her daughter is saying. And then the queen, because that didn't work, you know, the reason didn't work, the force, the telling you, the controlling didn't work. The queen then shifts into punishment mode, a consequence, as some would call it, but a big, extravagant final blow to be heard. The queen wants so bad to be heard by her daughter that she shifts into punishment to push Merida into compliance. That's her goal anyway. And she grabs her daughter's beloved bow, like bow and arrow, bow, and throws it into the fire. Now, does that bring Merida into compliance? Does it ever? No, it didn't bring Merida into compliance. Even if it had, it wouldn't have been true, authentic compliance. No. Was the queen seeking correction or connection? Right? Was she seeking to, like, meet in the middle and understand where Merida was coming from? Or was she seeking to enforce her will upon her daughter? Correction. And how did that work out? If you've never seen the movie, you don't know what happens next. But Merida, the child, she's a teenager, but they're still child. Like, I am not joking when I tell you that our brains as human beings, all of us, are not developed fully. Our logical, our prefrontal cortex, like, our brains are not fully developed until we are 25 to 28 years old. So believe me, when a teenager is still a child, Merida, the child, feels super unseen, unheard, unvalued, invisible, just a pawn in her mother's game. She's betrayed because her bow is, like, that's her thing. That's her passion, right? So her mom has just very much betrayed her. She's disconnected. She disconnects herself and she runs away. And she's led to a witch that makes a spell that she gives to her mom that changes her mom into a bear. And then there's the whole middle part of the movie, right? They learn some stuff, they let go, they go through some conflict, there's some fires, there's some chases, there's axes, there's drunken loud men, you know, the normal stuff. And in the end, or towards the end, the mom finally, like, through this process, the mom finally sees her daughter for who she is. And not who she wants her to be. She finally gets to know Merida. Instead of just knowing this vision that she has of her in her mind that the real person just doesn't match up to, she gets to see and value these skills and abilities that Merida has that fall outside of the perfect princess image. And Merida learns too. And I sat and pondered on this of, like, what does Merida learn during that time? What she really learns is just how to reconnect back with her mom, and that she does actually want a happy, healthy relationship with her mom. But she also wants to be loved for who she is and seen for who she is and supported for who she is and heard for what she wants with her own life. Merida ends up fighting to help her mom because she finally feels seen and heard and understood and loved. Now, friends, mamas, was this Merida's fault? Because she loved to be free? Because she loved to shoot her bow and ride her horse and climb waterfalls? Because she didn't want to get married? No, of course not. Of course it's not her fault, right? Of course this conflict isn't her fault because she's a child. And those things were inherent to her being. It was her uniqueness, her passion, her wants and desires for her own life. And, you know, did it all work out in the end? Of course. Yes, of course. It all worked out. You know, her dad did not kill her mom in bear form, and there was no huge tragedy, and, you know, they all, like, learned their lesson and lived happily ever after. Yes, of course it all worked out, because it's a Disney movie. But could this all have been avoided if the mom had been present and calm and patient and curious about her daughter, present with the daughter that she has and not the daughter that she wishes she had? Could all of that have been avoided if the mother could regulate herself and see her daughter for who she is, allowing her not only to speak, but also hearing her, hearing what she had to say, knowing her, and adjusting her mothering in support of her daughter instead of forcing her child into a box of her own creation? Could that have all been avoided? Yep. Yeah, I think so. I think so. Could all that fighting and destruction and witches and spells and turning into a bear been avoided if the mom had softened and connected with her heart to her daughter's heart to do and be and advocate for the needs of her daughter? Yep, I think so. Could all of that have been avoided if the mom was self-aware, aware of her own emotions, aware of her own expectations of her daughter, aware of her own traumas and triggers and reactions and conditioning and programming around what a young lady should be, so that she could look at them with clarity, so that she was able to put her reaction on a shelf and be the loving, patient, kind, joyful presence for her daughter? Yeah. If the queen had been able to do this when Merida was younger, instead of instilling that a princess needs to be perfect, would Merida have had years of happy, joyful childhood, being seen and heard and supported and nourished for herness, instead of feeling like all of her most uniquely her parts were being cut off so that she could fit into that box? Yeah. Now, that may not make for an exciting movie, but Mama, you know, your life, your motherhood, and your child's childhood is not a movie. It's not a movie. It's not a movie. There doesn't have to be any big conflicts. There doesn't have to be super highs and super low lows. There doesn't have to be the roller coaster. So Mama, you know, it's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay. Like the movie. It's all okay in the end. There's a saying that I heard a long time ago that I held dear for a long time, and I'm not sure. No, I think I still believe it. Is that it's all okay in the end, and if it's not okay, then it's not the end. And I think that that gives us some hope. So, you know, it's all going to be okay. If you're listening right now and you're like, I don't know how to do this, or maybe your kids are older and you're like, shit, I already effed up, right? Like I get it. It's, you know, shit happens and things get resolved. It happens all the time, every day. You know, we have all, you and me, Mama, we've lived through some stuff, and we've worked through some of it and have the opportunity to work through more. And you get to choose. And you get to choose based on your circumstances, because I don't know. You get to choose. And you make the best choices for you. I don't know what's happening in your life. I don't know where you are right now. I don't know how many kids you have. I don't know if you're married. I don't know if you're working. I don't know if you have any and all of the resources that you need. You know that. And I'm empowering you to choose. And that may be like, look, I hear what you're saying, Ashley, and I'm doing my best. And that's all I got right now. And I just trust and have faith that I am doing my best, and that my best is good enough, and that my kids are going to be okay. Because they are. They're going to be okay. They're going to be okay. And maybe you're like, no, I want to do this now, Ashley. I want to do this now. How do I do this? How do I do this? Because you can invest time and money and energy and resources into activating your best and truest mom heart now. While they're little, you can remove your learned barriers to your best and truest mom heart, establishing new default tools to seamlessly restore and access your best and truest mom heart, even in chaos. You can do that now. and reduce the amount, reduce the colors and textures and quantity of shit that will happen that will need to be resolved in your kid's life. We can reduce it. We can't take it all away, guys. There is no perfect. It does not exist. There are always going to be things. And you can model for your children that there is shit. It's there, and you can resolve it, and you can show them how. You get to choose. If you do want to uncover and activate and access your best and truest mom heart, even in chaos and tantrums and messes, and even in front of your parents or that judgy lady at the supermarket, if you do want to do that now, while they're still little, apply for a free DM conversation with me to identify what's blocking you from having a guilt-free, joyful motherhood and childhood. Let's get to know each other a little bit. I have many program options to assist you in your motherhood, returning to the joy in this journey, from minimal time, money, energy, investment to going all in. There is something that will fit you, something that will benefit you. I know it. I've designed it this way because I want to reach as many of you and help as many of you, as little and as big as I can. So click the link below and apply for this DM conversation with me. And let's get to know each other a little bit. I love you, and I love your kids. And my hope is for your true heart to be uncovered and to shine, so that theirs never believes that it has to hide to survive. I love you. Let's do this. Hit that apply button below. I can't wait to hear from you.